Well, good morning, saints. It was kind of weak. Thank you. Yeah, amen. Actually, it's been a tough weekend for me. As I've been considering this message, I don't know if it has to do with the sovereignty of God or not, but anyway, it's been a little difficult, and we really need to stand this morning for the Lord. And whatever the Lord wants to say will be what comes out. And so let's begin this morning with a word of prayer. Lord, as we come this morning, we are so grateful that you have given us your word, Lord. It is such an encouragement to us. It draws us to yourself, Lord. It brings us to you. It, Lord, shows us who you are and what you're like. And Lord, we're so grateful that you've given us this word. And yet we, Lord, we realize that it takes the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit, to really open our eyes and hearts to see your word and to, Lord, have your word have an effect in our lives. So we come this morning. We do stand under that anointing, Lord, that you've given. It's been poured out upon your body, Lord Jesus, that we might effectively speak and hear your word this morning. We ask, Lord, that whatever is on your heart to share is what will be shared. And we ask, Lord, that, Lord, your blessing be upon this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are on the life of Isaac. Last time I reminded us all that when God gave his name, he said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So it's important, as marvelous and wonderful as it has been to consider the life of Abraham, the pioneer, that we also see Isaac and Jacob in order to get a fuller picture of this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So our real heart is to see the Lord and to know the Lord through the lives of these three men. Now, last time, as I began the life of Isaac, just as a quick review, I indicated that Isaac was a type of Christ. And I won't go through it all again, but two fundamental things we see him as a type of Christ is that his birth was divine in nature. Now, what I mean by that, because God waited until his parents, it was impossible for Abraham and Sarah to have children. And it was only through divine intervention that Isaac was born. Now, in that sense, he is a type of that promised seed, Jesus Christ, because Christ came from heaven. He was born of a woman, but he came from heaven. His origin was divine. And secondly, was this matter of the cross. We know that our Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary, died on the cross for your behalf and my behalf. And Isaac, like the Lord Jesus Christ, willingly put himself on the altar. He did not object to his father. He did not try to run from the cross at all, but he willingly gave himself to be laid on the altar as a sacrifice to God. And we know God intervened, and Abraham didn't have to slay his only son. But God, on the other hand, did have to crush his only son. Oh, what a picture we have of Calvary on the cross through the life of Isaac. A real testimony to the life of God in Isaac. And, brothers and sisters, I related that to you and me. You have had a divine birth as well. This birth you received when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ was from God. It is divine in nature. It is a heavenly birth. It is the new birth. A birth in spirit. Not just in flesh, as we gain from our mothers and fathers. So we too have that testimony in us that there is a divine birth. And secondly, the Lord has asked us to take up the cross daily and follow Him. Daily we need to go to Calvary. Daily we need to offer ourselves there, a willing sacrifice, that the Lord can do whatever He chooses with us because we are His. And He wants to basically eliminate, it's all that is not of Him, that what is of Him will be resurrected from the Calvary. So you see that we too carry a testimony of divine birth and the testimony of Calvary in our lives. And it's real. And not only that, I mentioned that Abraham had to lay his Isaac on the altar. And that we too, when the Lord asks us to take up the cross, we'll have to lay many precious things in our lives on the altar and allow God to do what He will. And that is living by the cross of Calvary. Well, also, the big thing about Isaac that we learn was, well, Abraham was the pioneer. But how do you live this life of a pioneer? Well, to do that, you need to learn to be a receiver. Because life that you need has to be received. It is received through grace by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. So Isaac is the receiver. It says Abraham gave all to Isaac. Brothers and sisters, the Father, through Jesus Christ, has given all blessings in spiritual places to us. All the blessings of God. All the inheritance that it will be the Lord Jesus Christ is also ours. How do we get it? Not by working for it, but by receiving. It's a great lesson that we have to learn as Christians, that we begin our Christian life by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. And we continue our Christian life by daily receiving of His life that He has given to us and placed inside of us. That is the life of a Christian. We need that. Praise the Lord. We need to learn how to receive as Isaac. All your blessings. Said He received all. What is our all, brothers and sisters? It is Jesus Christ. Oftentimes in our lives we're looking for holiness, we're looking for sanctification, we're looking for victory, and we're looking for things. But what we have been given is Jesus Christ. He is your victory. He is your sanctification. He is your holiness. Until the Lord opens your eyes to see that Christ is all and in all, until the Lord opens your eyes to see that that truly is the Christian life, unfortunately, we live a life that is weak. We live a life trying to depend on the flesh to do the things of God. But once we see that it is all Christ, what liberty there is, because then it can be Christ that lives in us and not we ourselves. A great liberty. Thirdly, we learned that one of the secrets for Isaac was he dwelt by the well of Lahora. Lahora means well of the living one, the one who reveals himself. The well of the living one who reveals himself. We need to learn to dwell at the well. Where is that in your life? It's Christ. He is the well of the heart. Christ. It says that we are in Christ. Of God are we in Christ. That is where you are placed. That is your place of blessing. That is your place of life. That is your place of revelation. And I went on to share that not only are we in Christ because we've accepted Jesus, God has put us in Christ, but we are in Christ in His body. He has placed us in His body. So if you want to know what the fullness of the well of Lahaina is, it is Christ the head and Christ the body. It is the complete Christ. Our dwelling place, the place of life and revelation. Brothers and sisters, I have to say that the Lord has blessed me in my life so much of what I have seen of Christ has come from being in fellowship with brothers and sisters. Yes, I can go to the Word, and He does give me light, and I'm so thankful. It's such a blessing. But so much of reality that I've touched in my life is through brothers and sisters. So being united with brothers and sisters, being in that place of life and revelation. Well, we have not only been placed in Christ, but in Christ in His body. It is one thing. Often we speak of in Christ and in the body as two separate things, but really they are one thing. They are one. And they both happen when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're put in Christ and in the body. Well, that was last time. This morning, I'd like to continue in chapter 25, and I'd like to read some scriptures from chapter 25 of Genesis. And we actually covered through about the 11th verse last time. But let's start with verse 17. Of Genesis 25. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years. And he gave up the ghost and died and was gathered to his people. These are the years of the life of Ishmael. Verse 17. Now go to verse 21, and I'll have to read from there to the end of the chapter. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to be his wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Paddan, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from you. The one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment. They called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name is called Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. Jacob was a plain man dwelling in the tent. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob made pottage, and Esau came from the field and was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I'm about ready to perish. What profit would the birthright be to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And so Esau swore to him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drank and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. That word despise means to think little of. He thought little of the birthright. Holy Spirit makes great emphasis of that point. Well, in continuing this chapter, the first thing we run into is verse 17 where it said Ishmael dies. He passes from view. And Isaac comes into full view. Now we remember that Esau represents a man of the flesh. And he passes out of the picture. And Isaac comes into full view. Now Isaac is a man of the covenant of grace, promise. He's a man who dwells by the well of living water. He's not living by the law, but by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He's the spiritual man in this analogy. It is a great day, brothers and sisters, when the man of the flesh in our life passes from view. Now that doesn't mean he's dead, because unfortunately we'll have the flesh with us until we die. But there does come a time when he passes from view, when he's no longer the one in control, when the Spirit is in control of your life. That is a great day. And the Holy Spirit makes note of this. Sometimes you read this and you wonder why he bothered to put it in there. Because it's something critically important to us as Christians, that we see that Esau, the flesh, needs to pass from view in our lives. It needs to be the life of the Spirit that rules our lives. So, a great day. That's the first thing we encounter. Now, from verse 21 through 34, we have the what transpired for the birth of Esau and Jacob. And there's two things this morning that I think are important that we understand about these two men's lives. One, that we see that the promised seed is divine in nature. Now, what do I mean by that? Once again, just as with Sarah, Rebekah is unable to have children. Now, the promised seed is to come through Isaac and Rebekah. He was married at 40, and the children were born when he was 60. So it's been 20 years. No children. Rebekah is barren for 20 years. Isaac, I'm sure, was beginning to think, what of the promised seed? And I know Rebekah was crying out, Lord, Lord, why me? Well, the marvelous thing is, and I'm not sure why it took him 20 years, but it says that Isaac inquired of the Lord. Now, I think there's something to take note of. You don't have to wait 20 years. But for some reason, it was 20 years later before Isaac finally was so convicted, challenged over this matter, that he finally goes to the Lord and said, Lord, I entreat you. You've promised this promise, see, but my wife is barren. Will you not open her womb? At the request of Isaac, the Lord opens Rebekah's womb. And she has twins. That's what I mean by this promised seed is divine in nature. Once again, we see that it is the hand of God. It is God's sovereign hand that opens her womb. The promised seed comes. It is God's the Father's sovereign hand by which Jesus Christ came. God's sovereign hand was at work in Isaac's life. But we need not forget, brothers and sisters, that God waited until Isaac inquired. Kind of gets back to this lessons we've been talking about on prayer, right? How God waits for an intercessor. Waits for one who will pray. Well, God waits. And when Isaac comes, he responds. Thank the Lord. The second thing we want to consider is God's sovereign will. God's sovereignty. Rebecca was having, obviously, a tough pregnancy. The two boys were wrestling inside her womb and giving her quite a stir, apparently. I remember when my wife was pregnant, it was a few times I saw her wench and hold her side. It's because one of the boys kicked her in the ribs, I guess. But apparently this was going on much more than normal. And so Rebecca goes to the Lord and says, Lord, what is going on? What is this that is happening? And the Lord tells her that two nations will come out of her womb and that the elder will serve the younger. Now, that was not the order for that day. The order for that day was that the younger would serve the elder, and the elder son would be the one in charge of the family affairs. But the Lord said, it won't be this way. It will not be this way. Not man's choice, but God's choice. God's sovereign will came to play in these two things. Man would choose Esau, but God chose Jacob. Now, when I say man would choose Esau, Esau was a hunter. He was a man's man. You know, he went out and he got the food, he brought it in. Took care of the family. And from the picture we get that Jacob more or less hung around the tent, helped his mom out, which is admirable. He wasn't a man's man. And it says that Isaac loved him, which is okay. But what Isaac was now yielding to, because God had said the elder son would serve the younger. Isaac, because of natural affection, says he loved Esau. He chose Esau. God had chosen Isaac. I mean, God had chosen Jacob, but he chose Esau. And was going to actually bless him, as we'll see later. And I get my wives all mixed up. I'm sorry. Rebecca, started to say Sarah. Rebecca loved Jacob. Now, what's the difference? What is the weakness in Isaac's life here? Well, Rebecca in this case was the one that had gone to the Lord. She had received direct revelation from the Lord that the elder would serve the younger and he would be the respected one. However, Isaac had not received this direct revelation, but I'm sure his wife had told him about it. But for some reason, he didn't respect that. And his eyes was on the natural instead of the spiritual. Now, brothers and sisters, we all fall into this trap in our lives before the Lord. In our everyday lives, we often see events and things that happen to us in natural light. We look at them in the natural, and we say this and this and this, and I'm going to go about solving this problem this way, or this has happened to me, and I'm really down about it, and I just don't know what to do. In the spiritual, as a Christian, when things happen to us, our first response should be to try to view this from the spiritual standpoint. And that is, what is the Lord saying? What is the Lord doing? You know, I was really deeply touched at work recently by one of my coworkers. He found out he had a mass in his lung, and it was cancerous. And he told me that the type of cancer was extremely slow growing, which was, of course, a blessing to him, and that it could be years before it really affected him. And he's the same age as I am. But, you know, it's a scary thing to have something like that. But what so blessed me is I talked to him, I said, we just really need to look to the Lord, don't we? He said, what I really want to know is what the Lord's saying to me. What I really want to know is what the Lord is saying to me. That is a spiritual perspective. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's what I mean when Isaac here failed in his vision. He was looking at the natural and not accepting the spiritual. And that is a great lesson that we need to learn, and it is brought out in this chapter. Well, it was God's sovereign choice. Isaac wasn't recognizing that. And it became a critical point in his life. The point I want us to see is that the fact that the elder son would serve the younger was God's sovereign choice. It was divine election. And divine election affects you and my life. Can you put up John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13? John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Or you can turn to it, which might be good too. John chapter 1, that can't be right. Yeah, that's it, I'm sorry. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. To them, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, speaking of Christ, which, talking of us, were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. I want us to see this morning, it was God's sovereign choice for you. Not born of blood, nor the will of your flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And what I saw in this was, there's three, what do I want to say, pairs of children that we've kind of looked at so far that I think illustrate that it's not of blood, it's not of flesh, nor the will of man. First of all, Cain and Abel, not of blood. When Eve had Cain, the first son, She called it, Cain means acquisition. In other words, I've acquired the man. I've acquired the promised seed that God had given. But it's interesting, with the second son, she called him Abel. And Abel means vanity. I can't help but wonder that after Cain was born and she began to observe her son, she realized that he may not be that heavenly in nature. We certainly see the evil that finally came out when he slew his brother Abel. Not of blood. You're not born of blood. I'll say more in a minute. The second pair is Ishmael and Isaac through Sarah. It's not the will of the flesh. Remember how Sarah and Abraham tried in the flesh to have this promised seed, and it didn't work out. They had Ishmael instead, and eventually, because God opened her womb and gave them the ability to have children after Abraham was 100 years old, they were able to have children. Not the will of flesh. It was God's divine hand of which these two boys were born. That Isaac was born. Not the will of the flesh. And thirdly, the third pair is Esau and Jacob. The will of man. Man would choose Esau. Isaac certainly chose him, but God chose Jacob. Not the will of man, but the will of God. As a matter of fact, let me read this. I'll just read this. Romans 9, 11, 9, 11 verses 1 through 2. No, 9, 11 through 12. For the children, being not yet born, neither having done good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said, the elder shall serve the younger. The elder shall serve the younger. Not of blood, not the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but the will of God. Brothers and sisters, the lessons to learn here is that your birth in Jesus Christ is not through blood. In other words, because your parents are Christians doesn't make you a Christian. It doesn't come through the bloodline. There has to be a transaction made. Christ was very clear, you have to be born again. Not of the flesh, but born again in spirit. Your spirit needs to be born, birthed, or brought back to life is a better way of saying it. But that is the new birth. It's not by blood. Now, probably not many here would doubt that at all. But there are many out there that call them Christians, themselves Christians, that aren't, just because they either grew up going to church and their parents were Christians. And they think they are Christians. Well, no, not until there is that transaction with the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart, and they are born again. That is the new birth. This is not by blood. Secondly, it's not by the will of the flesh. A lot of people you will go to and say, are you a Christian? And they'll say, I'm a good person. And they are, in the relative sense. They're a good person. And they say, surely God wouldn't, send a good person to hell. Well, that's not the issue. The issue is that you need to be born again. And it can't be just because of good works. You're not brought to be a Christian through good works. Other people say, well, I'm trying. And I hope that one day I'll get good enough. There will be enough good deeds in my life to balance out the evil ones, and I'll be accepted. Once again, that is not God's way. It is not the will of the flesh. Not by blood, nor the will of flesh. But if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you choose Him, you will find out that it's not your will, but the will of God. Now, what do I mean by that? You may think that because you've accepted Jesus Christ, you've exercised your will, and you've chosen Him, that it was through your will that you were saved. Right? Free will. In John 4:19, it says, "We love Him because He first loved us." Now, this matter of choosing Christ is very simple. We choose Him because He first chose us. Let's look at Ephesians 1, 4 through 5. Would you put that up? Ephesians chapter 1, 4 and 5. Ephesians 1, 4 and 5. "According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." Did you get that? You were chosen before the foundation of the world. You were chosen before the foundation of the world, that you should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Having predestinated us, chosen before the foundation of the world. This morning, it's just on my heart, brothers and sisters, to see how precious this is, that God would choose you before the foundation of the world. And yet, it does not negate your having to choose Him. But you have been chosen by God. Now, how is it so? It says that we are chosen. He has chosen us in Him, in Christ. We've been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Now, when the Godhead got together in their councils together, and the Father said, "You know, I have a heart to do something special for my son. I desire to have a family like my son. And I desire that my son should have a bride. And it's on my heart that we create man, or that we make man in our image." What is it? After likeness and in our image. That was His desire. And He looked at His son. And I have to say, according to the Word of God, when that determination was made, that God would make a man in His likeness and after His image, He looked at His son, and He saw you in Christ. He saw me in Christ. He saw you in Christ. He saw us in Christ. Now, how is this, brothers and sisters? It's because God is Spirit. Don't you see things in your spirit? If you're a Christian, you see things in your spirit. When we think of seeing, we think of eyes, but we have spiritual eyes. And God saw us in Christ at that time, before the foundation of the world. He saw the bride before the foundation of the world. He saw you included before the foundation of the world. Chosen before the foundation of the world. God has had you on His heart even before He made this world, before He really renewed the world, but before the foundation of the world, He had you in His heart because Christ was His heart and you were in Christ. What a glorious thought of your and my beginning. Our beginning was in the thoughts of God. Just not passion of the flesh. Our beginning was in the thoughts of God. Praise the Lord. And it goes on to say that not only were we chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, but having predestinated us unto adoption of children. predestinated us unto adoption. Now, why adoption? Why not just say predestinated us to be His children? Predestinated us unto adoption. Let me put it the best way I know how, and I hope this doesn't confuse you. But God made Adam after His image and likeness. And He gave Adam the choice of the tree of life, or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when Adam was born, even though he was made of God, he wasn't at that point an actual son of God. To become the son, he would need to have that life that comes from God. And that was to be obtained by eating of the tree of life, which we know the enemy came in and he deceived Eve, and she went to her husband and he couldn't give up Eve. So he too fell into sin. And their nature became sin. In other words, they no longer really carried the image and likeness of God. They were man. Fallen man. God knew this. And brothers and sisters, what we need to realize is that when we are born of our parents, born of the flesh, we are a child of Adam. We're part of Adam's family. And I'm not talking about the TV movie either, Adam's family. We're part of this original Adam. We're part of his family. That's the way you're born, a son of Adam. Not a son of God. Well, how in the world are you going to get out of Adam's family into God's family? Well, what you have to remember in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 45 through 47, it says that Christ came as the last Adam and the second man. In other words, when Christ died on the cross of Calvary, in God's eyes, His judgment fell on the family of Adam and Adam's race. And He says, it's over, it's ended. In Christ, it's over. But Christ also came as the second man. The second man. God's second man. And with the second man, He's going to start a new family. And all in that family will become children of God, sons of God. And how is that done? A legal transaction has to take place. We call it a covenant today. But a legal transaction of adoption has to take place to get you out of the family of Adam into the family of God. And that legal transaction takes place when you're willing to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. When that happens, your spirit is quickened by the Spirit of God. Christ dwells in your heart. You have been born again, and you are now have become a son of God. You're now a part of the family of God and no longer a part of the family of Adam. You have been adopted. That is the sense that at least I see this word adoption applies. Praise the Lord. You've been adopted. No longer in the family of Adam, but now in the family of God. A son of God. God's choosing. Let me say it another way. When you accept Jesus Christ, what God saw in Christ before the world began becomes real on earth in your life. I know and I hope that makes sense. What God had done in heaven in seeing you in Jesus Christ and predestinated you to adoption actually takes place when you accept Jesus Christ. And so what is determined in heaven is now done on earth. Does that sound like a familiar verse to you? Thy will in heaven be done on earth, Lord? Something like the Lord's Prayer? One thing we need to learn, brothers and sisters, from the beginning to the end of our spiritual life, we're always making real now what God has done in heaven, what His will is. All the value of Calvary's cross, what Christ did there, only becomes effective in your life when you accept Him. Now that event occurred over 2,000 years ago. And in God's eyes, even before the world was in being, it says the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world as well. All of that, all the good of Calvary comes to the good in your life when you accept it. And then it's made real in your life. So brothers and sisters, you've made a choice. But what you discover is that you were already chosen. Now, that may seem to confuse your theology. And you might say, well, if I wasn't chosen, that's it. But you know what? In 2 Peter, it says, God is long-suffering and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I don't care who you are. God's desire is towards you, and His love reaches out to you. You'll never be able to say to God, I never had a chance. It doesn't negate God's sovereign will at all. Now, how can this be that God can make a sovereign choice and yet man still has to choose? Brothers and sisters, I can only tell you that it's only possible in Jesus Christ. Because that's where you're chosen. And that's where you received your new birth, is in Christ. Maybe I've raised more questions than helped. But what I want you to see, it is a precious thing when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is God's Lamb on your behalf. But it's also precious. Isn't it precious to know that He saw you before the foundation of the world? He had you in His heart before the foundation of the world. And that He had predestinated you to adoption. Knowing that you would be born of Adam, born of the flesh, born of that with that sin nature which He could not tolerate, which was not fit for Him as a son of God, to be a son of God. And He goes through this great work of redemption to bring you back to His original purpose, which is that He might have many sons, like His only Son, Jesus Christ, and that His Son would have this companion, the bride. It's a marvelous thing. I mean, eternity here. Things have been happening in eternity concerning you and me. What a marvelous Lord we do have. Well, that is my main heart this morning, brothers, that maybe the Lord would just refresh us with the greatness of His love towards us. But there is one other thing we need to see before we leave this chapter. It said Esau, it ends by saying, Esau despised the birthright. The Lord Jesus has had you in His heart from the beginning of the world, foundation of the world, that you might be conformed into His image, that you might become that precious bride to His son. And in this life, there is this transformation that is going to take place. And that's Jacob's life that we'll see later. But Esau, the fundamental issue with Esau was present gratification overruled any desire for the things of God. In other words, he wanted that food right now. That was what would immediately gratify his soul. So immediate gratification he chose over the birthright, over the things of God. And brothers and sisters, I want to say, that is probably one of the main things in our lives that grabs us, is the desire for immediate gratification. And you know how we are an instant society now. Even instant grits, which I can't stand. But it's instant society. You know, we've got to be gratified now. And I can't even wait long enough for the pot to boil. You know, just stick it in the microwave. It's amazing. Remember how you used to do popcorn over the fire? And now you just stick it in the microwave. Well, the point being, initial gratification overruled his desire for the things of God. If we live our life just trying to gratify ourselves, if that is our main, I won't even say purpose, but main way in which we operate our lives, we will be giving up something. Now, the birthright is a precious thing. Brothers and sisters, when you accepted Jesus Christ, you had a birthright. And one of the things that God wants for you is to be involved in His kingdom, in the kingdom age, a 1,000-year period where He's going to come back, end all the mess that we see going on today, and set up His rule on this earth for 1,000 years. And He wants us to be a part of that. And the birthright, included in that birthright, is the right to reign and rule with Him, to serve Him during that 1,000 years. But if we are more interested in immediate gratification, we can lose that reward of being with Him in that special place. Learning, you know, that's one of the reasons we need to learn God's government in our life today, because that's what the kingdom is about, God's government ruling over everything. We need to be ready for that. So we need to learn God's government in our life instead of just gratifying ourselves. But if our choice is to gratify ourselves, we can miss out. And that's a warning here that we cannot overlook, because the kingdom age is coming pretty soon. If you don't believe me, just go back to the news and see what's going on and look at your Bible, and you'll discover that things are lining up pretty quick for the Lord's return. Well, present gratification, birthright. Well, brothers and sisters, just wanted to end by encouraging us that in order to live this life, we need to learn to receive from the Lord. We need to respect His sovereign choice. You will be conformed to the image of Christ. If you're willing to yield your life now, that conforming can take place now, rather than just trying to gratify yourself, then you will be prepared for the kingdom. If not, there will be a 1,000-year delay in your being able to serve the Lord and being with Him. Because, in the end, God's purpose will be fulfilled, and we'll all be a part of that bride. I don't want us to look at this in the wrong way. But He has called us to be conformed, so may we yield to that. And lastly, I just want to say, this well of Lahora in Christ, living in Christ, being responsible in the body of Christ, is extremely important, because it's the place of life and revelation. And brothers and sisters, if we're going to make it as pioneers, and that's what we're called to be, we need to learn where to live. And we learn that from the life of Isaac. Lord, we just come to Thee today. We're so grateful, Lord. It's almost, Lord, hard to fathom the depths of Your love, the fact, Lord, that You were able to choose us even before the foundation of the world. Lord, I want to say today, thank the Lord. Thank You, Lord, that we're one of the chosen ones. Thank You, Lord Jesus Christ. I thank You that You gave me the faith to accept You and to make it real in my life. Lord, I just praise and worship You this morning. We ask, Lord, that whatever the Holy Spirit desires to touch and eat each heart will be done, that Your will might be carried out on earth as it is in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.